Welcome to the podcast, episode 534. We're glad you're here. Thanks Thank you for the support.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, sorry, I interrupted you, Doug.
Sorry.
How rude of me.
No, how rude of me. Continue. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear. That was a test. You passed.
Oh.
You passed.
F plus.
I'm just kidding. You did good. Thank you for the support lately. Thank you for all our Patreon subscribers. We appreciate the support there. Much love to you. And thank you for everyone that's been supporting Steve and the Thoughts from a Steve series that is exclusive to the top tier Patreon members as well.
And we have some more stuff lined up for Patreon members also.
It's a coming. It's a coming fast. The podcast is presented by Elite Archery.
That's right.
You can use code WCB on your next Elite bow or anything outdoor group related, Slick Trick broadheads, etc. We like them all. We're shooting the Envision, different colors, Purple Rain, specifically with Doug. Code WCB.
You can drop them bombs.
You can even order online, use the code, save some money, and then have it shipped to a local dealer. And you just supported Elite, us, and your local dealer. How awesome is that? So check them out. Doug, you have a veteran shout out ready?
I do.
Let's hear it, buddy.
Okay.
Pull that one up, will
you? This one's submitted by Patrick Somerville. And the veteran is Jake Getz. Says, Jake has been my best friend, drinking buddy, and hunting buddy for the past 4 years. He served 6 years in the Army, where he was a tanker, got out after he got hurt, but I know he wishes he was still kicking ass with them. I allowed Jake to hunt with me down on my property in South Georgia, where he moved once he got out of the Army, and he's so grateful of that. He invited me to hunt their family farm in Ohio, the real land of giants. Psh, get out of here.
That's true.
I am truly grateful for the opportunity to leave our 110-pound, 110-inch eights, and be able to hunt real deer. Mad respect for everyone else that does the veteran shout-outs. It's the second best part of the podcast. The best part is watching my 7-year-old daughter headbang to y'all's intro song.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
There used to be y'all the shit, minus my daughter asking me what a BBW is now. I should really not let her listen.
Yeah, be a better dad.
It's just BMW. It's car, BMW.
Yeah, no, you're the man. You're the man. That's awesome.
Says, chooses to hunt only mature deer over the past several years. And now I'm getting Elite here soon. Thanks, guys.
Hell yeah.
So thanks for submitting that, Patrick. And thank you for your service, Jake.
Cheers.
Patrick, luck, Jake, shout out to you guys. Cheers. Cheers, cheers, cheers. Clank.
Clank. Clank.
Good luck this season, boys. And
thanks, guys.
I don't know. Tell you about your daughter.
Very cool. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, you're just raising her up to know the real world.
That's right.
That's pretty damn cool. Shout out to you for being an awesome dad. The podcast also brought to you by Big Time. Hopefully you have your fall plots in and they're growing strong. If you haven't, if you're ignoring game regulations, you can still get some supplemental feed. Use code WCB2022. We don't care what you do as long as you don't blame it on us and it's legal in your state. Do it. Because there is states it is legal to do supplemental feed, like Ohio. And there's a lot of other states. I just don't know them, but, check out Big Time. Even your clover, if you're planning on frost seeding, you might want to start thinking about that stuff, plan ahead a little bit. WCB 2022. Also Huntworth. We love Huntworth, the gear. We've tested it all over.
Mm-hmm.
You hear us talk about the hoodie with the face mask built in, solid pants, the ladies line.
Which I was just going to shout that out. Like, let's shout out the ladies line because all of our wives had Huntworth in Africa, and they absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So the ladies line is something that is overlooked.
If you ask Ross, they look good doing it.
Yeah. Looking at your wife's dumper.
Checking out my wife's dumper.
But really, if you get on, hit ladies and look at what they have. There's a ton to offer.
Yep.
From solids to Tarnin camo. Tarnin, I think, is one of the better looking camos available nowadays. But
I agree.
Heavyweight, midweight, lightweight. There's something for the ladies in there, and it's priced very well. So check out huntworthgear.com and use code WCB15 to save yourself some money when you buy your wife gear. Or tell your wife to not spend as much money at Target next week. And then get herself a jacket and some
literally
pants.
Take one week off.
Yeah. Don't buy Starbucks for like 4 days. You're fine.
Yeah.
Make your coffee at home. You know what I mean? Is that too much to ask?
Let's not get them all riled up.
Oh, sorry.
Don't talk about their Starbucks.
Code WCB at Huntworth. Do you get a Starbucks code? Sorry, I did it again. The podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher. The room clean is right now the fave, the gear bag, the roller bag. I'm going to take a gear bag out on some Western hunts, and I pretty much live out of the gear bag during whitetail season.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't leave my truck.
That's my life.
Yep.
That is my life.
My stuff's still in my bag from South Africa.
Well, once it's in there, it's good. You got all your shit organized. You got that red dirt all over it, though.
Yeah. I'll bring it with me.
It's always with me. Check out Scent Crusher. And the podcast also brought to you by Novix Tree Stands. The Hilo. All right, what's round table? Hilo, full length. I like double or the regular sticks. I'm good with that.
I'm Hilo, full length, double sticks, all day.
Hilo, full length, double sticks, or single. Either way.
Like a boat. That's what we do. And you can use code WCB2022 to get yourself into a setup. And they also have CamoFlex. So if you're, this is a project that never gets mentioned. It's flexible artificial leaves and limbs that you can put up around your stand. So if you trim a little too much, if you get in a spot and you're like, I need more cover there, you can add your own artificial cover and bring it in and out with you when you go.
Because we've all been there where you're trimming a tree and then you go up in the stand and you're like, well, shit, fuck.
Son of
a bitch. I trimmed too much.
Yeah,
you're in
the perfect tree, you get up there and
you did too much.
You freaking look like a fat Albert up there.
Got options for you. Also, Spy Point trail cameras. We've been using the new Flex. Love it. I actually got a picture today.
I got the most badass picture I think I've seen.
Yeah, it's a buck running, and his velvet is shredding off on the Flex, and it's, like, flopping. It's badass. I thought it was a giant, crazy non-typical person. So, but I have a picture of pheasants flying. I have a picture of a hawk landing. I have pictures of bird. It's, like, it just shows you how, like, good the camera is.
That's what Doug used them for, is for the birds.
Birds only.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you're listening, DNR, it's just bird seed.
Right. That big time was for the birds.
I'm joking.
I know you are. I know you are. And Bonanza. We will be at Bonanza, what is it, next weekend?
Yep.
Yikes. Yeah, it is next weekend.
23rd and 24th.
Yes.
Purple Rain's about to show people how to shoot.
We'll be there. Bonanza on the Mountain, sponsored by Gator Outdoors. So Friday, there's a campsite open at noon, 3 p.m. to dusk. Saturday, 6 a.m. and 7 p.m. Competition scorecards must be turned into registration, award presentation, and medal round to follow. So
live music at 6.
Or listen to the podcast last week and learn more about it. So Bonanza on the Mountain, sundownmountain.com. You can go there and find more info or just find their Facebook page.
If you can outshoot Doug, he'll shave his mustache.
That's a fact. We're doing that. That's a thing we're doing. He's not shaving it. He's waxing it off so we can memorialize it in a shadow box in the studio.
Either wax or Nair. I mean, your choice.
Yeah, I like that. I like that Nair thing. That's cool. You okay, Doug?
You guys don't believe in me?
Well, we think you're a good shot, but there's somebody better.
There's nobody.
If they call you out where they can outshoot you, you got to shave the mustache.
No, when people say there's nobody, there's always someone better. I'm that someone.
Okay. It's always you.
Then back it up.
Nah, I'm good.
I'm fine.
I'm just not going to do it.
All right. Hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Are you in the market for a box blind? You might be after this one. We enjoyed this podcast. Be. Isaac's the man. And appreciate you being here. Enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Class. Welcome to the podcast, the WCB podcast here in New Windsor, Illinois. I think this is episode 534. not 100% sure on that, but that's what my paper tells me.
Just put a question mark at the end.
534?
Maybe.
Give or take a couple episodes. We don't really know.
There's a tolerance there.
Yeah, there's a tolerance. Yeah, we drink a lot. I'm sorry. Kurt Geyer speaking.
Eric Hammond.
Doug Schmidt.
Austin Chandler.
We have a special guest host in studio.
Queer for Deer. Casey Thompson.
Casey Thompson. We're glad you're queer for Deer still.
Always.
Not going trans yet, huh? Not following the times, the trends?
No.
Okay, cool, hell cool. No. Noted. And
I
then
become a cat.
Screw them nerds.
That's our special guest host. Special guest of the evening.
That sounds important.
You're very important.
A lot of pressure.
You're very important. Why don't you introduce yourself so people know that sweet voice of yours?
Isaac Getzinger with Grizzly Coolers.
And Hunting Blinds.
Yeah.
Not just a cooler company anymore.
Expanding.
That's right.
But yeah. Expanding in a very proper way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's been a four-year project and labor of love.
Well, you guys did.
It's been awesome.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, but you guys, I mean, let's just dive into the blinds right off the rip because you guys didn't come in. It's like, we're going to just dibble dabble in this blind game and then they'll just get better over the years. Like, you guys were like, we're just going to make the best blind that's out there and then here it is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what it seems like to me.
Pretty much. And to really start, you know, what I hear a lot is, you know, why Grizzly? You know, you're an Iowa company. Like, what's Grizzly have to do with anything in Iowa? You know, there's no grizzly bears there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I hear that a lot, and
I never even thought about it, I'll be honest.
I
never thought about it.
Yeah, why Grizzly Coolers? Well, way back in the 80s, it's a family-run business. Now there's three brothers that own Grizzly, and it all started back in probably the late 90s. They took a really large cooler that they had that they were selling to stadiums that they transported kegs in. They took that out west on an elk hunt, and all the guides just absolutely went nuts over it because they could figure they could pack two elk boned out, you know, send it home with their clients, and the meat would still be good, and they didn't have to hassle, you know, running to get ice all the time and all this stuff. So
yeah,
they brought it back, retooled it, and that was the first cooler in the lineup, and it was called the Grizzly. So
no
from
shit.
There, that's where it started, and we started adding sizes and everything that way. And I've been there for 10 years. I started in 2012, and when I started, we had the original 400. Since then, we converted that name to Grizzly Coolers and just started calling all the models, you know, what they are as far as quart size. We had a 400, a 60, and a 150.
Wow.
And now it's just growing from there.
It's just crazy how that all came came full circle. Like, hey, we can transport kegs in these. We should be able to transport elk. So let's just take it with us.
Yeah. You know what it sounds like? It's like, why is Working Class Bowhunter and Grizzly partnered? It's like, well, that's why.
That's exactly why.
Makes a lot of sense.
Light bulb.
Yeah.
Because they like to drink beer and transport beer.
Hey, and kill stuff.
That's right.
And eat the meat. That's a good way to kick. Thanks for telling that story so like swiftly and right off the rip. That's a good way to like just that's what it is. This is how it got going, and it's a company that's not just this like flash in the pan cooler company like a lot of them nowadays.
And you got to think too, like they've been around since the 90s, early 90s, late 90s, but really they didn't come in the scene till.
Yeah, really. We really started marketing about the time that I started, even a few years after that. So, I mean, 2012 on to now is really when we kind of hit our stride and started adding sizes, adding colors. You know, the drinkware came along, then our soft side. So it's all been a progression over the years.
And yeah, absolutely.
We've retooled all the coolers and to the look that you see today. So it's been a long process to get where we are now. And, you know, we're not done yet on that front. But, that's one of the things that's always been, you know, driven home with Grizzly is we take feedback very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, any of our guides that are on pro staff and any of the influencers that we work with and are sponsored people, you know, we take what they like the people that are actually using the product seriously. We take that and work on new products based on that feedback. Just like the original 400, those guides kind of stemmed that product, and here we are.
They kind of designed it for you.
That's super cool. Yeah. That's a really cool, like, kind of an origin startup
story. Yeah.
Well, for people who are wondering, like, how did we get partnered with Grizzly and, like, how did this relation? We met you, you know, through the trade show circuit.
Right.
But really, Grizzly as a company and you, I think, had a heavy hand and part of this. It's like, hey, these guys, they kill stuff and they drink a lot of beer. they need a cooler to drink out. And you guys sent us a couple coolers, and we're just drinking beer out of them in the studio. We're drinking beer out of them at trade shows. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, the relationship builds. Like, why are we not, like, doing something? It makes sense, right?
And the company is, like, air quotes here, local to us. I mean, Decor is only 3-4 hours away from us.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it fit, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We drink a lot of beer, and we kill a lot of stuff. So it's...
makes sense.
Both need a... You know, you need a cooler for both those things.
Both those activities.
Yeah, exactly. So it just kind of worked out. You know, the CC Hunt Vials podcast is more cooler focused, and we're more hunting blind focused here on Working Class Bowhunter. So we get best of both worlds on the WCB World Network. I don't know what you call it, but it's like the family of podcasts that we're in. You know, we get to cover both things. So, we're talking coolers now. We're on hunting blinds, but we're going to get to that. Coolers, what's the most popular size, and why do you think that is?
Oh, gosh. It actually changes, you know, year over year. But by and large, our 20, 40, and 60, those three are usually our top three every year. Mm-hmm. The 60 this year is very popular. It's been crazy this summer.
Is it because people are drinking more, or they're killing more?
Earlier in the summer, I would have said drinking more. Now we get into fall time, we start selling more of the 165s, the 100s, and obviously the 400 starts really picking up, you know, this time of year for the guys going out west.
By the way, the 400 is the massive one. Do you remember we were at ATA and you guys had a display? Do you remember this conversation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I was like, that's a joke, right? Like, that's not like a thing you guys sell. It's like
a prop.
That's not a production cooler.
It's a gimmick, right? It's like, oh, look how cool this cooler is. Come in and talk to Grizzly. You're like, no, dude, we sell a shit ton of those.
Are massive.
Well, and I was like, for what? And then you're like, elk, you idiot. And
yeah. I'm
like,
oh, put a couple of them in there.
That makes sense.
Hey,
right?
Hey, dipshit.
Yeah, we're on that one, dipshit.
Yeah. Like, all right, my bad. Okay.
Now I feel like an idiot. I'm going to walk away.
Yeah. So, yeah, but that's interesting, though.
Yeah, I put that one out on the aisle for a reason, because I mean, just like you, it grabs their attention. They don't think it's real. People want to get inside it.
I say, how many people have got inside of it to see if they can fit in it?
It happens every show, all shows.
I think you actually had like a little disclaimer that told how many beers you could fit in that thing.
Yeah, it's about 500 cans.
500 cans. That's a lot of beers.
Shit, that's a hell of a party.
When you're on your elk hunt, you just fill it with beer.
Clint has one.
Yeah, and then just come back with an elk.
Yeah, that cooler got shipped here. And Clint picked it up because Clint is going to live out of it.
Yep.
Like, legitimately, Clint is probably going to pack all his stuff in there for his hunt. He leaves and, like, well, he's already gone by the time this podcast launches. But at real time, he's leaving, like, a couple weeks. Yeah. And he's gone for a long time. And he's that cooler's in his truck. So.
Yeah. Makes an excellent gearbox, too, when somebody's traveling. You know, to put all their gear in and then bring their meat home.
Yeah, lock it up and everything, yeah.
Yep.
In case you leave your tailgate open and everything falls out, everything should be okay inside that thing.
So if someone's like, hey, I want a Grizzly cooler, what would you recommend to be like? If they're drinking beer out of it and hauling meat, what size cooler should they look at first and why?
That's 60, just because it's a happy medium. You get a lot of capacity for the meat, and then obviously the ice retention, everything is what you're going to want for that, and then obviously the space for just beer, you're going to have plenty. You're not going to be under capacity for any beer. So,
well, I think that's one of those questions, though. It might seem obvious when you break it down, but it's like, you know, you look at your shopping coolers. I don't know how much I need. My first Western trip, it's like, it's dual purpose, right? You want it for the meat, but you're also going to drink beer out of it if you spend good money on a nice quality cooler. So
and,
it's like,
and water and stuff.
No, just beer. Beer or meat.
That's all that can go in it.
Yeah.
Maybe. If you put it in water in it, throws it out.
You get a sorry disclaimer.
I feel like perfect.
No water.
To think about it, like when I go on Nebraska mule deer hunt, I usually take a 40 and maybe, a 40 or a 60 for drinks and food, and then I'll take a 100 for meat. So okay. I have two. Just because mule deer, you're going to get a lot more meat off of them than usually your typical whitetail.
Yeah, right. A little bigger.
You're going to need that capacity out there. But any whitetail hunter usually is going to be okay with a 60 or 75 for pecking.
I guess the rule of thumb is you're never really going to regret going too big.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, it's better to go too big than too small. Obviously, you can always put more ice in it. That's not going to hurt anything.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be undersized.
That's especially what if you're driving. Said.
Ooh, Casey dropping the straight jokes in here.
Straight jokes.
Straight and trail jokes.
Wow.
All right. Thanks for that, Casey.
Nothing.
There it is. My button's a little delayed.
There's just a 20-second delay in that.
Okay, I got to trim it up, all right? We did this on the fly before the episode.
Just hit the button.
There we go. Okay.
Isaac, when you go on one of these big hunts, do you charge your cooler? Like, do you cool it down before you go?
That was my next question. Thank you for that, Austin.
I do, and that's we get a lot of questions about that, usually in customer service. Because there's so much insulation in those coolers, you do need to pre-chill them because they will work the opposite way, right? They'll retain the heat versus mm-hmm. retaining the cold. So if you have it out in your 80-degree garage, that cooler in itself is going to be 80 degrees, and it's going to take a bag of ice just to get it working for you, if that makes sense.
That's I bet you that's way overlooked, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, right away, we'd get calls, people saying, oh, my ice melted in 4 hours. Well, you just put one bag of ice in a very, very hot cooler.
In a 90-degree cooler.
You know, and the other thing, too, is like, is the product you're putting in there cold to start, too? Because that will use some ice just to get that product cold.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of easily overlooked things.
Right.
So what's your process to chill it?
So you call it charge it?
Recharge it. Sorry, charge it.
That's whatever. What I call that. I don't know if that's the proper terminology.
Charge it, pre-chill it, whatever. But I mean,
charge it. We'll call it charge it.
That sounds cooler.
It sounds way cooler.
I might steal that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeze it.
Every time Grizzly uses it in a marketing program, you have to pay 3% of income on that campaign.
That was me.
To Austin. That was me.
Actually, the chick in the mail.
It makes perfect sense. Charge it.
Yeah.
I knew exactly what you meant.
Yep. But I use, I've got a couple of old milk jugs, actually, that I just froze with water. And I'll throw those in there, and I can reuse them. I've got those in a chest freezer. And that just put them in there overnight before I'm leaving. Then I'll pack it in the morning and head on down the road.
Smart.
Yeah.
So we can expect some Grizzly milk cartons soon.
So the other thing that we have, too, is our ice divider. So those will work the same
way. I was going to bring that up, too.
So, yeah, you just got to use a couple of them. Because one probably won't, depending on the size, you probably won't get... you know, as much charge out of it as you'd want. But so you have a couple of those. Those fit very nicely in the freezer because they're flat, you know, save on some space, throw them in the cooler, and away you go.
And if you got to divide some stuff, it works awesome.
That's a pro tip, though, to charge the cooler. I mean, I always heard, I learned that from the Johnson brothers, our good friends that are functioning alcoholics. We love them, but they can put down some Miller Lights. Because they're lame, but they always do that too.
Up yet.
They fill up their coolers full of just ice, and then they're like, oh yeah, you got to do this to get them like
cold,
functional.
Yeah.
But man, I guess if you're hauling meat, that could be pretty important. Yeah. But I guess once you get it charged before you leave, if you just keep it cool, it's fine.
Right. Yep. Unless you're using it like Clint probably will, you know, packing gear, then that's a different story. Then you're going to have to, you know, start from scratch when you get there. But you know that. You know, definitely if you're packing food and drinks in one, that's definitely the way to go on a longer trip for sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wonder what a guy could do with a big cooler like that. I guess if you're going to set up a base camp for your truck is if there's still snow. Because sometimes there's –
I was just thinking about that for like bear camp because you can just go throw in a pile of snow and just let it cool down for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But it's still going to chill down if you put in snow.
Yeah, but in the fall, there might not be any snow if you're out there in September. But
I'm saying for bear camp in the spring,
you
could definitely do it.
Yeah.
Keep it in the shade, too. I mean, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, rather than just baking in the sun on the interstate in the back of your truck the whole way, and then you throw an elk quarter in it. But
That's a great way to do it. Just get some milk jugs, freeze them, toss them in a couple days before the trip, get it cooling down. That's easy to do.
Yeah, that's a pro tip. Yeah.
A couple of my cousins and some of their friends went on an elk hunt, and they actually took a 400 from me and went out there, and they froze 5-gallon pails. Full of water.
No shit.
They chilled it before they packed it and left. So they said those 5-gallon buckets lasted forever.
Oh, I bet.
No shit. It was
like huge just blocks of ice. You know, they take forever to melt. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. I think that I bet you I'm going to make a bold prediction. And I'm curious to see if you agree or disagree or in the crew of the table. I bet you 75-80% of people did not know that. Or it makes sense, but didn't think about it, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't think about it until they just said it tonight.
I didn't either.
I'll admit I'm a dumbass.
No.
Well.
Thank you for
admitting that. We all are, Casey.
I mean, if the shoe fits, right?
That's right.
But it does make perfect sense, but just something you don't think about.
No.
I got this cooler.
Oh, you throw it in the back and go.
Yeah. So that's fun. Okay.
Yep.
You guys offer all sorts of crazy colors and all that stuff. Like one of ours is lime green. Like that's our podcast cooler.
Yep, absolutely. Got 8 standard coolers from the 60 on down, and the bigger ones are white or tan. And constantly adding new colors to the lineup and just try to freshen it up, keep fresh, and people
and
like colors.
Soft sided coolers.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, like the soft sided coolers are the shit. You guys are just killing it all around. It's a great product line.
One thing I use mine for, this is kind of off the wall, but like when I'm spraying weeds and stuff out for food plots, I just use a backpack sprayer.
Yep.
So I'll fill that cooler up with water, and it doesn't spill when you're going down the road.
Oh, perfect.
So I can refill my backpack sprayer with water like 2 times off the big cooler.
Look at you. Nice. Damn, Eric, that's a pro tip.
It's a pro tip.
I never even thought about that.
Because I used to use just a regular cooler, but the lids don't seal like the Grizzlies do, so it'd splash all over, and you lose about half your water driving through the waterway, hitting all the bumps.
Oh.
But this one you can latch down, it seals nice, and it keeps all the water contained in there. And then,
so if you have the 400, you're just fucking sending you good for a day.
You can spray 200 acres with that son of a bitch.
Might as well just put an electric pump and a boom on the top of that Grizzly cooler. Right.
Coming 2023.
The Grizzly sprayer.
Yeah,
the Grizzly sprayer. It's a 400 on wheels with a boom.
With a boom.
Just call it pterodactyl.
Yeah. It's like that. Nice. That's badass. So you can put your beer in it too. Your beer's just sitting in cold Roundup,
floating in the Roundup.
Well, I don't. Why is it spicy?
I don't pre-mix it in the cooler. In the cooler is just water.
Well, if Grizzly made a
boom sprayer. Yeah.
Doug's mustache is all wilted and shit.
Ain't no weeds growing in that.
It's a little burn at the bottom.
Yeah,
it's tart.
Just saying,
it's
new
hot.
Venture.
It's hot.
I don't know if you could send that idea up the corporate ladder at Grizzly, but. They might want to listen.
I'll make a note.
Yeah.
Get your notebook.
Taking FIMCO down, baby.
I want to see you write it down.
All right. That's fun. But, hey, that's a pro tip, Eric. That's a good one.
Yeah, it works awesome. Been doing it for a couple of years now.
Thanks for sharing that shit with us.
I've shared on the podcast before. You just don't pay attention.
No, you fucking
have. I swear to God, I have.
Do you remember that, Doug?
Never.
Austin?
Whatever. Mm-mm.
Lion sack of shit.
God damn, he's smarter than he looks.
I know. Right. Gee whiz. Well, let's talk hunting blinds a little bit.
Yeah, so this came around about 4 years ago. We launched, kind of did a quiet launch in 2019. So with that whole Grizzly story, you know, obviously our ownership, big into hunting. They've got a bunch of different blinds, and they just always felt that, hey, you know, we could make something that we really want to hunt out of and make this easier, and kind of went to the drawing board and tried to figure out the best size and window configuration, and it was, you know, it's been in the works for quite a while before we launched it in 2019, and then we even changed some stuff over 2019. We launched it at ATA, and then we went to do the full scale launch in 2020, right when everything shut down. So that was perfect timing for us to launch the blind.
Look at those new blind crickets.
Yeah.
Social distancing blind.
Yeah. So that made things a little difficult. You know, you can't just throw that thing in the back of the truck and go drive around and show people this blind. You know, it's very hard to sell a blind off of a picture and piece of paper that you can send around and, email. But it's been awesome. The feedback has been great. We're ever changing that thing, adding new accessories. The list of accessories that we have coming for that blind is off the charts. In the next couple of years, you just wait. I mean, the things that we're working on right now are going to change the game. But that blind, just as it sits, is a solid one piece. Everybody always asks, you know, where's the seam on this thing?
Yeah.
You know, there isn't one. It's all one piece.
Yeah, that's badass.
You know, there's nothing that's going to expand on you and allow water in. You know, it's all one piece, even the floor. It's got 8 windows, so 3 of the horizontals and then 5 of the verticals. We even put one in the door that's the same size as the other sides.
Yep.
Makes it nice if you have a surprise behind you, need to all of a sudden shoot out the door, you have a full window there for you. And then with those windows, they're super quiet. They're a little bit larger than most that are on the market. And when I say larger, I mean wider. So in the corners, you don't have that dead space that you see in some of the others out there.
Right, yeah.
Kuza in South Africa.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're going to figure out a grizzly South African blind market.
Shipping would probably be kind of cashy.
That would be tough.
No, they're going to open an office over there and ship Isaac over there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need him out.
We need inventory over there at our Africa warehouse.
Yeah.
I'll come work.
Yeah.
We'll test them out.
But yeah, it's, you know, part of just making it hunt better was just exactly what I was talking about, the field of view. You know, you can sit in that blind and you'll see this fall. You're not moving your head around a lot to, you know, look at your whole food plot. You know, you can see pretty much everything out of that blind without having to move around a whole lot. And then the shades that go on those windows, we have a shadow mesh that you can see through and then a full blackout. So most people, when they set one up, they'll do the blackout behind them, obviously, to kill the silhouette, and then they have the mesh out front.
Yeah.
And then some of the other accessories, you know, we got a shelf for it, an insulation kit, and then our flooring. You guys got the mats in yours.
Yep.
And that's probably our number one accessory right now. That everybody gets that premium flooring.
Kind of have to. It's kinda, like, yeah. It's the cream of the crop.
It's so quiet, and it's a closed cell foam, so it will not absorb any liquid. You can take it out, spray with a hose, and it's not going to be waterlogged for you. Throw it right back in the blind, and you're good to go. And it's 3/4 inch, so especially if you're hunting with kids, you know, they're constantly moving around or dropping stuff. You know, it's just super quiet in there.
Yeah, you got to take your shoes off outside to get in.
Right.
We
need a Roomba in there.
It's in there, hitting the sides. It's the blinds. You know, I've been walked in several blinds. I've never actually hunted out of one, but I've been wanting to get one.
But I mean, how many have we looked at over the years at different trade shows?
We've walked in every brand.
Yeah.
I think I've been in every brand.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Anytime we're at a show, we're like, let's go check these out. Because fuck, how long have we all kicked tires on blinds?
Since we started.
Yeah. It's just something you always wish you had, you know? It's like, man, this would be nice when it gets brutal or when this or that, you know, there's a scenario for it, however you want to slice it. But, you know, the grizzly blinds, even before we were officially partnered, because it's been really less than a year to this point.
Right, yep.
We walk in, it's like, I think every time, especially you, Austin, you have other brand blinds that you've already had.
Yeah.
And we walk in those, it's like, that's the cream of the crop.
Ross and I walked up, and I think we were the first ones in your blind, and we're like, Ross and I are both pretty well acquainted with box blinds. And we step into this thing, we're like, holy shit, this is the Cadillac. Like, this is the cream of the crop. I mean, it's impressive. When you get in one, you understand why they're the premium blind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to be honest. I kind of had this misconception. I was like, yeah, they're expensive, but you pay for what you get. And then I was like looking at prices of other blinds. And it's
not that bad.
It's like the same. Yeah. It's like a high-end blind.
Yep. They're very similar. I mean, we are on the higher end. But that's, you're getting the accessories. The main thing is, you know, to deck it out how you want to hunt. I mean, not everybody needs every single accessory that we have. So you can shave some cost off of there. But at its heart, that thing is going to be what you want. Even if you're just a gun hunter, it's going to be a game changer.
For sure. I mean, I think the one piece unit is top notch because all these other ones are bolted together, screwed together, and eventually over time, they're going to expand and contract where you're going to have a leak somewhere.
Yeah,
something's going to happen. I'm excited to hunt out of it, man. I did a big-time food plot this year specifically for this blind. I couldn't be more fucking excited about just like one spot. Like, you know, it's, and you always wonder how it's going to be because it's like that. You can move the blind, but really, once you sit there for the year, and unless you got access to forks on a tractor, it's kind of there. But I've done as best as I could to engineer the spot on this property after knowing it for a couple of years, and I feel really good about it. I know I'm going to see volume of deer, and I think I will get an opportunity at a good buck out of this blind, but I'm looking forward to maybe taking my kids out, having the wife sit with me, having a hunting date night, you know, get our freak on in there in the blind. You can't hear it because it's got that thick mat.
What's up?
Yeah, break it in.
Yeah, you got to break it in. Come on. What are we, not boys here? What are we?
Boys camp.
Hey, we know you thought about it, Casey. You know, we know you thought about it.
I'm not a boy.
Yeah, but you thought about it.
I did.
Imagine licking your girl down in the fucking blind.
I was actually thinking about your wife.
Oh.
Hey, bird.
Listen, it's not a burn. Fantasize. I don't care. Just tell me about it afterwards. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm here. I'm here to party, you know? So, but we all joke about that, but you know what happens.
Dude, one of my best days in the hunting last year was, I know what you're thinking, Doug.
Yeah, let's talk about it, right, Doug?
My combine broke down. I was broke down early. I'm like, well, shit, let's run to the blind. We hop in. I got Budweiser and cheeseburger in the blind. Like, you can't do that in a tree stand. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does. You don't
Unless it's a Big Mac.
Right. It's just dropping it everywhere.
Lettuce.
Is that the only burger you ate?
Yeah, that was
fur burgers.
But no, it's just, it's really cool. Like you say, with the kids and the wife, you get to get them out there and experience that, control some scent, bring your cheeseburger and your Budweiser and have a good time.
That it's a big benefit to it. And it might be looked at as like lazy, but man, I got to be honest, for as much hang and bang and hang on sets, and I love them, I will never quit doing that. For as much shit and frozenness I've sat in and cold and wind slicing through you.
Dude, they spoil you.
You need you need one of them.
I'm just excited to get in it because I've never hunted out of a box blind before.
Yeah, I never was either. And it will spoil you, like you said. I mean, it's crazy. I had a buddy come hunting with me right when I got mine set up a couple years ago. And it was raining at the time, and I was doing a little bit of filming with him. And I'm like, we got to go to the blind because I don't want to get the cameras all wet. You know, we're just going to sit there in this food plot. And we literally got in, and it's 300-yard walk from the truck. We get in, set up, sit down, and knocks an arrow. He looks around, he's like, oh, we're hunting already. Like, this was easy. Like, there's nothing to this.
See, that's awesome.
But how many times has it been, like, pouring rain? You're like, you know it's going to quit, and you don't want to go sit in a stand while it's pouring until it quits. And you're like, I ain't going.
Well, a lot of times you'll just say to hell with it, not even go out if you see a big front coming in. But if that front lasts for 30 or 40 minutes and then right after that the weather breaks, you got some prime hunting right there.
Yeah.
You don't want to set it out in the tree stand. With this, you get to get out there, weather the storm, and then you get to hunting after.
That's a good point, too, because what I like where I set this spot up, the property is relatively flat, but it's the highest spot on the property. I had a stand not far from where I put my blind. And it's one of those spots. It's like one of the only good cherry trees in the area. But like when the wind's cold, you're just up there ass and dick out, just taking every...
just taking a beating.
You're just taking a beating from the wind. And you just, even on a day that's kind of mildly cold when you know you should be hunting, you're up there just having the wind hit you in the face. And
it's not cold, but you're at that point where you're still shivering.
I'm sure everyone's been there where you're just like, fuck this.
Well, right? You know, too, and it's not like there's not a bunch of, it's not a good timber spot where like it's like breaking up the wind for you. It's just the trees moving around. Oh. You're uncomfortable. So I put that blind up there for that reason. I know it's a good spot. But what I did, just to kind of break down some detail on it, there's an access path to it that I always ride my e-bike on. And what I did is I cut... for west, northwest, or straight north wind, fuck, even an east wind, I'm good. Like, I made it to where it's in a spot, I can hunt it almost any time. And the benefit is, you're not really having your scent out there too much with a box blind.
Well, right, and even if it's one of those days where the wind isn't blowing very hard and you're worried about the thermals when the sun goes down, you know, dropping, if, like you say, you're higher up on the hillside there.
Yeah.
Like, once those drop, like, that blind will help contain some of that where... You know, typically you'd be in a tree stand there and you'd be worried about what your scent is doing that last critical, right when it's prime time, you know, that blind can help contain a lot of that.
For sure.
Right when the getting's good, you know, at the end of the night.
Yeah. So I put that blind there, but what I did is we cut in a path at a 45 to the blind and we planted a big time borderline down that whole path. So what I'm going to do, I haven't done it yet, but it's actually the borderline's tall as shit. And I went to Africa, came back, looked at it. I'm like, oh man, like we're hidden now, you know, it's doing its job, but I'm going to cut a small path, the weed eater handlebar width, and I'm going to ride my e-bike in through the borderline. And then I have it set up to where the blind is just to the right of the borderline strip, the base that we built. So I'm going to basically ride my e-bike in underneath the blind, lay it down, and then I'll crawl right in. So, for wind entry and exit, it is, I don't know if I could have designed a better...
It's ideal.
I don't want to say it's bulletproof because nothing really ever is, but it's as close as you could get. And I think that's a lot of, you know, consulting Austin, and I've talked with Mark Drury about plans, and even Joe, I'm first from Big Time, like, hey, what do we got to do here? So
Yeah, that entry and exit is key in that borderline. I was actually talking to Daryl this last February at a couple shows about their borderline, and that is just, if you can get that set up where you can get in, like say with the e-bike, that's perfect.
Yeah, it's my dream setup, man. Really, like for a food plot, we just planned it the other day. Several weeks ago, if you're listening to this and when it launched, but about a month ago, but I'm just so stoked for it, man. Like to be able to slip in the blind, have everything in there, and just, I got the blackout shades behind me, the see-through mesh shades on the front. I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
And with kids, hopefully you can get your kids out there too.
So my daughter's 3. Yeah. So it's like, she doesn't really understand how to be quiet. Yeah. So I'm starting to, when we were doing food plots the other day, I'm like, all right, deer hunting voices. So she'll yell, dad, dad. I'm like, deer hunting voices, dad, dad. She's still yelling, just
a little bit quieter.
She's still yelling with a different sound. It's hilarious. But deer hunting voices, that's what I'm trying to get her to learn. So
lots of snacks.
And I hate to say it, but the iPad might have to be.
You got
to
do that.
Yep.
Yeah. Part of it.
But you just did like a 4x4 base, right?
Yeah, I copied exactly Isaac's, you didn't have plans, but in the Grizzly catalog, I copied exactly what you did.
Yep.
I took a picture of it. We went to Lowe's or Menards and bought basically exactly what you had.
Yeah, I mean, the 4x4s, I just find that's really easy for where I'm at too. I'm coming from Southeast Minnesota, so it's very hilly. I can manipulate the legs a lot easier by cutting them or digging them in, to get that thing level. And then I just cross braced it with 2x4s, like you're saying. And then I use 2x6s for the ladder going right up to the door.
Yep.
And it's very, very sturdy. You'll have to replace the wood probably after a while, but really makes it easy. I mean, you buy treated lumber, it's going to last quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was actually really easy. Looking at it, like, I'm not going to lie, and I don't know how other people feel. When I look at the picture in the catalog, I'm like, oh, that's got to be a chore to build that. We had a tractor on forks. We had everything we needed. And you literally throw there's the 4x4 mounts that you can get through Grizzly.
The pockets.
Bolt through it. What do you call them?
The 4x4 pockets, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Throw them in there, lag them in, lag those in. And then it sits there. You just keep the forks on, and then you throw all your cross bracing. And then you throw the ladder on there. And then what I did was through the, I guess it'd be the floor, there's like the metal brace.
Yep.
In the floor, I ran a strap through it, just kind of slid it through and ran it to a big ag anchor. And then I did 2 ag anchors on the corner. And then I did 1 more ag anchor from one of the ladder, the 2x6s down. So I'm hoping that's enough. I'm a paranoid. Marjorie says take T-posts and cram it at 45s. I still got to do that. But now I don't want to drive over my borderline.
I think you'd be fine.
So
anything on the corners is always good. I do the T-post thing too.
You do.
And then I should mention too, we are going to launch an 8-foot steel tower as well this year. So we will have the offer for people that don't want to build their own.
See, that's cool too. Yeah. Just have that extra security.
Yep. It'll be an 8-foot, all steel, have a nice ladder with a railing, and then a 40-inch landing platform in front of the door there. So there is some space there in front of the door. That is one thing with kids, is it's nice to have that little area right before the door if you are hunting.
Take your shoes off.
Yeah, that too. Yep. Yeah. Welcome, Matt.
Yeah. Welcome, Matt. See, that's something that's the only negative to building. I don't have a platform there, but I took Isla May up in that blind. I just carried her and whipped her in there and said, get in there, Shut up.
Yeah, shut your mouth. You just toss her from the ground?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
They're cool, man. I mean, I don't know how it gets nicer. It's just when you're in there, it's like, this is awesome. You just get excited when you're in it.
Yeah. That was really the whole goal, is we wanted that reaction. Like, we want everybody that goes in that thing to go, wow, this is really thought out. This is exactly what I want. And it's got all the accessories I need to close the deal on a giant buck.
That's the first time we've seen him at a trade show. I remember, I think Kirk came over, he's like, you got to check these blinds out. Yeah. We went over, looked at him, like, this is the cat's meow right here.
They're the cream of the crop.
Yep. But the feeling I have in my blind setup right now, when you hang the perfect hang-on setup, maybe in the best terrain feature, it's in that good tree, it's tucked, and you're like, fuck, something's dying from this.
Yep.
Like, you just feel good. That's how I feel about my blind setup.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, I have the same feeling. Like, I have the same, within 100 yards of that blind, I have the same feeling on a Novix hang run. And I'm just like, this spot is deadly. Like, I called my shot on that last year. I showed Chandler where that spot was. I'm like, right here. Mm-hmm. That's where I killed my buck. You know, it's like, I have that same feel about this blind. Like, you just know, you have confidence that it's a good spot, and you set it up as best as your ability allows mm-hmm. you to set it up. And that's all you can do.
Right. Yeah. I've killed turkeys out of ours. Not me personally, but we've had kids out there, and they've shot turkeys out of them in the spring. So it works both ways. Yeah, it's been
the shotgun right out of them.
Yep.
See, that's awesome. That's something I never thought about. Really,
the angle's kind of weird though. You don't think about shooting a turkey. You don't point it down like a deer.
With a shotgun. Yeah.
Oh yeah, dirt just flies everywhere, and there's turkey flies.
With an arrow, you just pin him to the ground.
Right. Oh, that's funny. Dude, you know what? I'm turkey hunting out of that thing next spring. I'm just going to sit there, my feet up, and just out the window.
In your underwear?
I was in my underwear, sure.
Why not?
Bring my wife out there. She can sit in her underwear, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh,
sheesh.
Without them.
Can I come?
What?
You know what, Casey? You'll do.
You'll do. Casey's sitting there in her underwear.
You can call.
You can call, yeah.
Can I take pictures?
You can, but with my phone.
Okay. Just that's send what them we to me after.
Yeah, I'll airdrop them to you. Okay?
Got a good looking beard on him.
Yeah, that's what we do here at Working Class Bone. We take a perfectly good promo for Grizzly and just trash it.
Exactly. That's our job.
Well, so, you shouldn't have invited me.
Well, you know what? If you wouldn't have said it, I would have eventually. We did the Bonanza podcast, and I may or may not have ruined that entire podcast.
I was
the oops button.
I was what some people would say. Oops. On one.
I thought it was great.
Doug was encouraging me.
Yeah.
You got to have a good time, right?
It was pretty good.
Okay, thanks, Eric. Sometimes when we do podcasts, Isaac, and I'm like, man, should I edit that? And then I'm like, nah, we'll see how this goes. And then I really never regret not editing things, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because it always ends up well. We're like, ooh, that's going to sound like shit, and everyone loves it.
Yeah, it keeps it real, though.
Like, right.
That's something I noticed right away. Like, you walk into the nice studio, like, there's no, like, prep. Like, you guys didn't sit down and be like, all right, we're going to talk about this, this, and this. Like, you just go in the room, sit
here's
down,
a beer, let's fucking win it.
But you know what it does? Like, we do a little bit, like, we interrupt this program to talk to you about taxidermy.
Ooh. You don't want to cheap on taxidermy, do you, Kurt?
I have a lot of bad tattoos, and I have a lot of good tattoos. And I look at tattoos like taxidermy, Eric.
That's right.
If you're going to get something forever from a hard-earned investment, your neck or the neck of a deer you kill, you want it to look pretty damn good.
You want top notch.
Top notch. Clean lines. You want them ears set just right.
Eyes looking good.
Eyes looking good.
Let me ask you this. You just shot a big buck, right?
Yep.
You get it mounted.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your buddies come over to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Having a couple beers, joking around like, hey, look at my nice mount.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking away from the rack because how shitty it looks
because
he didn't go to Old Barn.
It's got a busted face like your girl because you didn't plan that. Okay, sorry. That was.
They can't fix your girl, but they can fix your deer.
I fucked up on that. Dude. I ruined
you a little too hard in the paint.
I'm sorry. I got excited.
He'll play.
Old Barn
was
taxidermy.
DNA outdoors.
Came back again. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Hey.
We forgive you.
I like to have fun.
It'll play.
Old Barn taxidermy can't fix your busted looking girl, but they can fix your deer head or make your deer head look good the first round.
That's a different taxidermy. Okay.
Sorry, that was a bad. Yeah,
that was a bad plug.
Taxi to move dermy skin, not your girl's skin, your deer skin.
Your deer skin.
Yeah. Terrible ad. I'm sorry. We came at this.
We're doing bad.
Sometimes we're marketing geniuses. Sometimes we don't do
Next
so well.
Question.
It's a hit or miss.
Hit or miss. In all honesty, and being serious, Old Barn Taxidermy, protect your neck and your investment, and just get good taxidermy the first time, because nothing's worse than getting shitty, subpar taxidermy, and then you're like, son of a bitch, every time you look at it.
It's worth the drive if you're in the local Iowa, Illinois area. If not, they got drop-off points, looking them up online.
And G2 forms. Your taxidermist order a G2 form. They're very,
today.
It's very nice. Very nice. Trophy today. Line is a saddle company that we like. The new Venatic is out. Have you seen it? Mm-hmm. Have you seen their ads on YouTube?
Yep.
They're badass. In our system here in the studio, they wang. Lots of bass in those ads. Check out the new Venatic. Get yourself into a platform, some sticks, whatever you need. Code WCB. Save yourself some coin. I'm excited to see Clint Casper in a saddle this year.
Ooh.
All saddled up.
Me and Eric are going to be saddling it up.
Yep. Together. Same saddle.
Look like Tarzan out there.
You guys gonna freshen your guys' chip bet with a set, like if it's a saddle kill or not?
Nope.
No, no add-ons?
No.
Done is done.
The bet's done.
I didn't know.
Hey, set in stone.
My bad. The podcast also brought to you by Camel Fire. Does your girl know you're on Camel Fire, Doug?
Hell no.
Hell no.
That's between me and God.
Me and God.
Okay. All right. Noted. Good idea.
Me and my debit card, I mean.
Yeah. You and God and your debit card doesn't need to know about your Camel Fire purchases.
Do you have post-Biden regret?
Here, I'm going to get on Camel Fire right now just to see what's on there.
Post-Biden regret?
Yeah.
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 I'm embarrassed.
All right, there's
We got tree stands.
Right now, there's 2 hours and 22 minutes left on these Camel Fire deals. Lots of brands of tree stands.
Sticks.
Ooh, ground blind chairs, 45% off. That's a good deal.
Oh, look at those ones. Those are like bar top.
This blind's 52% off.
You want my credit card now?
Cool shit in here, actually.
That's a cheap ass.
That's what sucks about when we get on Camel Fire on the air is we all get quiet because we're shopping.
Check here.
What am I looking at?
Damn, that's your cheap for that bag target holder, right?
Yeah, $22. Shit, fuck.
Price of lumber.
Oh, look at the harnesses.
Ooh, I do need a new harness.
There you go.
God damn it, man. All right, I like Camel Fire, but it's like, I got to buy some shit. All right. Anyway, we're getting at it. There's good deals. Okay, we got sucked into the Camel Fire thing.
Look at $5 for face paint. You could be like all those huntresses.
Shit, fuck.
Love a good huntress.
Put all your makeup on.
The podcast also brought to you by Victory Archery. Loving Victory Archery. 75 grain outserts. Rip TKO.
Best arrows out.
And I'm shooting a light and knock.
Fap SS baby.
They're all good arrows, man. That's the thing. It's like,
jeez.
I don't really feel like to nerd out on arrows. I like what I have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you're going to nerd out on arrows, though.
I nerd out on them, but I found the setup I like.
Yep.
So I'm not, like, freaking out about my... I'm not worrying about my arrow setup every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like every other year I was like, I had to go back to the drawing board.
Like, you never have to question it.
Yeah, I'm just good with my arrows.
I'm shooting dimes, so... Business is good.
I like your confidence. I like your confidence. All right, back to the podcast. Sorry for interrupting. We have an idea on like things we want to talk about, right? Like clearly, but if we sit down and we're like, these are the five bullet points. We did this early on.
Yep.
If you write five questions, we will burn through those questions so fast. And then you know what you do? You're panicking for more content. Whereas if you come in naturally and you're like, oh, we know Isaac, we're just going to chat. It just ends up being just a conversation rather than a question answer.
Yeah, nothing's forced. It's
Yeah. I guess we should probably think about that though from a guest standpoint, like that. Like we're unprepared. No.
I think everyone loves it.
Did we seem unprepared?
No, because I mean I've listened, so I know kind of what's going on. I get the gist of it. Yeah, like I hate
us.
No. This sucks.
I mean, let's be honest, Kurt. Your wife is awesome. I mean, nothing personal about it.
Casey has a crush on Sam.
I have a wife.
Casey has said that she thinks Sam is hot.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, the first time I met her, you were like, so what do you think?
Like, I don't know if that happened.
It was something along those lines.
You're making things up in your dumb lesbian head.
I never said that.
But I do remember. I do remember you said something about your wife, and I was like, yeah, I'd do her. And you just started laughing. I mean, it's all a joke to me. Realistically,
you would.
I would never cross that line.
I would.
But listen, it's funny.
I could kick the shit out of you.
Sam, I love you.
But I would never. You can't.
But not like that.
If a girl wants to tongue your girl down, you can't kick the shit out.
No.
No.
It's weird, right?
I mean, my wife thinks she's hot, too. So
it's a compliment.
Oh, shit.
Cool. All right. Two girls think my wife's hot. I'll take that, you know?
Yeah.
I take that as a compliment.
It is a compliment. You know, that's cool.
It's pretty neat.
I'm just saying, if I was a girl, I'd be a lesbian too, man. I get it.
I remember that video they showed us in Africa? I thought I was a cowboy, but I just realized I'm a lesbian.
Yeah, we got to show Casey that. We'll have to find that.
I mean, you guys are all lesbians.
Technically,
well, right?
Yeah. Technically. Yeah, so this is all on par for grizzly hunting blinds.
Yeah.
Apparently you three are going on a hunt, too, this fall. So.
Yeah, we're having a three-way hunt. And I'm going to be one bow in the blind.
Three-way hunt.
Kurt gets cut out. Kicked out of the blind. Kurt, you got to go. Sorry.
I'll be shooting shit. You guys can do whatever you want.
Keep it down in the back.
In the back. Good thing I added this mat.
Keeps it nice and quiet in here.
God, we're dumb.
How did this podcast get so gay?
How do we start off so good and then we just end partnerships episode by episode? You know,
because we're idiots and we drink too much. That's why
we should have prepared more old fashions next time.
Yeah, yeah, probably not a great idea.
Opposite way
on that front, yeah, but
probably less.
Less? No, the answer is always more.
Okay. Answer always is always more. Isaac, how many grizzly? How many grizzly coolers get brought to the grizzly blind?
How many?
Yeah, percentage wise, I bet you it's pretty high.
Yeah, it's got to be way up there. Ever since we launched those soft side coolers, those are the blind coolers. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I mean that's what people.
Especially with kids, though, like a beer. Maybe, I'm actually not a guy who drinks beer and then hunts. Like we had beer in the blind in Africa, but it was post kill beers. You know,
yeah.
Unless it was like the last hour, I'm like, yeah, give me one of them damn beers. It's hotter in Africa in here. And then
I was like,
oh, wait, we are in Africa.
It is nice to have a celebratory beer on hand when you do arrow something.
That's a fact.
It's a great feeling. And you could do that with this setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I got two boys, 5 and 8. So I got to take a lot of snacks. And usually I'm taking a Drifter 20 along.
Yeah. You know,
and just to keep them fed
cheese
the whole
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you'd be amazed how much they can put down in a 2-hour sip.
And you got snacks for yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Bush Light snack, liquid snacks.
Oops.
Oops.
iPad in a cooler. A
little blue smoothie.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
a little fireball.
It's basically hunting at its finest.
Yeah, it is. And I like I say, I never was a blind guy before. I ran a lot of climbers and then hang-ons. I have permanent sets. But, yeah, since I've had that and then, like I say, with the kids, there's been multiple times where I've picked them up from daycare and school and we'd head to the blind. And
that's awesome. They're,
yeah, I mean, it just changes kind of your mentality on what you can hang out with them longer. Like, it adds that family vibe, even if they're not hunting yet. They get to go along. They get to, you know,
ease them into sitting and all that.
And they get to see stuff that you come home and generally tell them about, but like now they get to see it firsthand. So that's even better.
If you're a family man, you want to get your kids into hunting. I don't really know if there's a better way to learn to get a kid to sit. Especially when
younger,
4, 5, 6 years old, you know.
The old ladies in the background chirping about finding a balance between hunting and family. This is the way you do it.
Yeah.
That's right.
I just bought this blind for us, honey.
Yeah.
Then you're welcome.
Then you have your kids tell a story how dad missed a big buck.
Yeah. Now you got witnesses. That's my problem.
You got witnesses.
Hey, you fucked up. You fucked up.
Do you feel this is a question I kind of had from Mark Drury, you know, a few weeks ago when we did that. And I was like, hey, you know, do you guys get shit for hunting out of blinds a lot? Because a lot of the now what I'm calling is the arrogance from ignorance internet hunting crowd is like, box blind, wish I had the fucking money to do this and blah, that's not hunting and all that. Like, do you guys hear that from a grizzly standpoint?
We do a little bit, but not near as much as I thought I would.
Yeah,
to be honest, like I thought it was going to be a lot of that. Like you go to shows like the consumer shows, like the Iowa Deer Classic, and all that. But really, blinds are becoming so mainstream that people kind of are starting to realize what they're all about. I mean, it's not for everybody, and you know, they're starting to gain so much popularity, and the market is just exploding.
Yeah,
and I think part of that is due to, you know, the overall hunting population is getting older too, so that's the other side of things. Mm-hmm. But people are taking their kids, yes, but then a lot of those guys that were sitting in tree stands now don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And they're looking for something else that they can
give them a break,
you know, get out there and still keep doing what they want to do.
For sure.
This gives them that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like the perfect answer for that, you know, and Mark answered it as like, you know, some people give a shit, but box blind sales are higher than they've ever been.
Yeah. You can't argue with sales numbers, and we're going to keep running them. I mean, we've been shipping like crazy the last 2 months. And
too, you know, if you break it down, you think about it, it's like the guys that are going to give you shit are the same dudes that spent way too much money and time building this piece of shit wood one that rots out in 3 years.
It's a hornet's nest.
And they're like, yeah, it's a hornet's nest. You can't get in there. There's mice in it. And they're
you
just like,
touch those.
At that point, it's like, well, by the time you fix it and fuck with it, do this, and time is money and all that. It's like, you might as well just bought a single one piece blind and not have fucked with any of it.
Right. And then the same people aren't batting an eye at spending $1,000 on a gun and then putting a scope on it for another $1,000, or they're buying a $4,000 crossbow that's out there right now. Or, right.
Yeah.
Everything costs money. It's just a matter of, you know, where your priorities are and where what you want to do.
That's a big thing, man. And I think, I don't know. I go in and out of like these weird phases with hunting, not hunting, but hunting on the internet. Like, and I think it's just because of our position in the public space. I, when hunting is like, you know, we see the grief come and go, and then I get like annoyed with like certain trends or whatever with the internet. But right now I'm just kind of screaming that there's just so much arrogance from ignorance.
Yep.
Like, all the haters are so arrogant about shit they know, and it's fucking wrong. Or it's just from a perception that's stupid.
And, or a lot of people are just stuck in their ways and they don't want to fucking make a change.
Well, but that's fine too. But I think where the problem gets crossed is like, okay, Eric gets this hunting blind. If I'm one of those arrogance from ignorance guys, fuck you, Eric. Must be nice. Wish I was this guy. Well, you're not working class. You got this box blind. You went to Africa. You're not working class.
Right.
Meanwhile, the dude's got a $700 diesel truck payment with a big stupid pipe so he can fucking smoke out Priuses.
Yeah, and a 5,000 square foot house.
Yeah, and he's spending X amount on fucking Grizzly Chew a month and wants to bitch about you prioritizing your trips and all this stuff. It's
and
like
child support.
Roll that smoke, boy.
But I feel like that is like so strong right now in hunting culture on the internet only. I don't really feel like it's that way in real life. I feel like it's just on the internet.
Right. Yep.
And maybe it's just our perspective because we kind of get slapped with it.
I'm sure you guys see it more than most, you know, just given your platform and everything.
Yeah, so maybe like my whole rant right there was not relatable to most people, but to me, that's just like a common trend. And I exaggerated a little bit on it, but...
But it happens.
But it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's the same thing. It's like...
He probably didn't see it as much because, I mean, people that are calling him want to blind. They're not going to call him bitch about it. They're not going to call him bitch about
I'm going to call you.
Having blind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You guys are selling these high-end
Stick to
blinds.
Coolers, nerd.
I'm calling you right now because blinds are stupid.
I can't afford one, and you sell them.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good point.
He didn't see it very much.
Okay, touche.
Yeah, my calls are slightly skewed that way.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But you know what I mean, though? Like, I feel like that's like a common trend. It doesn't, you know, take hunting blinds out of it, take expensive tree stands out of it, take... you know, it could be public private, it could be compound crossbow. There's a lot of that, like
a little bit everything. There's so many variables in there.
Yeah, it's like a lot of that unnecessary just fucking making noise at each other. It's not even conversation,
right?
It's just making noise.
It's ignorant.
People like to argue.
Arrogance from ignorance, man.
Yep.
And I don't know how you feel about it, Isaac, but I feel like my theory is it goes back to the basketball theory. And I just made that term up for this, but it's like
basketball or baseball?
Any sport. plug in any sport. Here's my theory. People are arrogant with hunting, right? Even guys who don't kill shit are arrogant about it. Can be, not all, but there's the exceptions. If you could play somebody in a game of hunting like you could basketball or, say, fighting – I think that would take the arrogance factor out of it because you're not with someone when they're hunting, when they're like, oh, I would have passed that. I passed this. You should have seen the deer. I passed this year. Didn't kill nothing because I'm passing them all. Meanwhile, that dude's by himself and he's just making all that shit up. Where
he probably didn't see shit.
Like, if a dude's like, dude, I'm the best there is at basketball. I could dunk on you. You're like, all right, let's play a game of basketball. And then if you suck, then you're exposed.
Right.
With hunting, you can't really do that. So I think that's where a lot of that like arrogant ignorance comes from.
That's a cool perspective. I guess I've never thought about it like that. I mean, that
where'd you come up with that?
That's right on.
I've been talking about that for a while, man. But does it make sense?
I like that. Yeah, that for sure. I mean, everybody's got their own opinion on what they do, and if it works for them, it may not work, you know, 2 miles down the road even. You know, like, you just can't, there's no way to qualify anything.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own way of doing
stuff. They can say whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, what are you killing? That's really what that's your scoreboard
boils down to.
You know, if you're going to be that arrogant, what's your scoreboard say? That's what it is, I guess.
Dunked on.
Getting dunked on.
The Jordans.
A little dunky.
But if you're the I pass on everything guy at the bar, it's like you just, you're out there to watch a deer.
Yeah.
Cool. If you're bird watching.
Yeah. Bird watching like Doug.
Yeah, I usually tell them just bird watching.
Just enjoy the birds,
you
man.
You pass what? I pass a cardinal.
Well, it's illegal.
Oh. What? Good thing you passed it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's why I passed it.
Hey,
zoology.
State bird, gold central,
saw
my bird.
Bald eagle. Yeah, that's a living freedom there, but bro.
About a 120-inch bald eagle.
Sorry, we derailed here on this Grizzly podcast.
It's all but good.
But it kind of is relative, yeah. Like, you know, with the box blind, the more bougie, more high-end hunting, I guess, in a way. Yeah. We have to talk about that criticism a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it is out there. I mean, I mainly see it, you know, it shows on occasion when somebody just, they're not really the buyer for crossbows, but they just want to
look at it,
do the sticker shock thing, like, oh man, that's a lot of money for going to chase a deer. And
just getting the inside of your show blind all dirty with their shitty Crocs.
You're just telling, get out.
But yeah, I mean, that you're going to have that. And, that's where, you know, if we can make the best one we can possibly make and make the features the way we want it and the accessories the best we possibly can, you know, the thing is going to sell itself. People that are going to get in it that are box blind hunters, maybe they're new to the game and they just want to try it, you know.
Just, yeah.
You know, that you know, it's opened some eyes for sure. I mean, it even opened mine. I mean, I'll be honest.
It opened ours.
I was skeptical about sitting in blinds myself. You know, I'd never done it. And I mean, the main thing with me was the kids. Like that,
it's a big sell
by far. Secondary would just basically the wind. You know, I have to worry a lot about thermals where I'm at, and just to have that containment changes the game in some of those spots where I could never get a tree stand in. You know, you might have an opportunity. You know.
So when you hunt out of yours, are your windows shut the whole time?
Yeah, I very rarely open up my windows when I'm hunting. Sometimes I will. But normally they're all latched.
I'll take a beer, Eric, if you're going to grab one. Anything, Isaac?
I'm good.
You sure?
So you keep them shut while you're hunting?
Yeah, so there's a middle latch dead center in all the windows. That's the one that I leave latched. I open up all the rest of them. So that way if I have to get a shot at something and it's quick and things are happening, it's one latch and I can open up the window quick.
That's a good tip.
And the other thing, too, I forgot to mention with the windows is our hinges, very, very quiet, but they're also adjustable. So they're friction hinges. You don't have to latch them open to anything, so they're just going to stay open on their own. So I've been in situations where I'm holding my bow in one hand, reach down, unlatch the window, open it up, and it's going to stay open. I can go right into my draw cycle, and I don't have to worry about the window falling down, making a bunch of noise. It's very, very user-friendly, and those hinges can be adjusted with an Allen wrench. So you can loosen them up. You can tighten them if you want to, however your personal preference is.
Yeah.
If you like those vertical windows, you want those to open more freely, just loosen up the hinges.
You just thought of everything.
Yeah. Try to.
That is very well thought out.
When you step into one of those things, you're like, man, I never thought of this, or I never thought of that. You know, after being in three or four competitors and then stepping into this thing, it's like, damn, these guys did. Yeah. They thought of everything.
Well, and that's too, it's like when we're talking about walking into them at trade shows, it's like, you know, I don't have experience with hunting out of them. So that's why like we kicked so many tires walking in. It's like,
well, we've been in a bunch.
We've been in a ton of them.
It's never like, hunt out of them.
Open the window, do this. Some have different window systems. And I think a lot of them just overcomplicate the window system. It's like these sliding windows and all this shit and a sandbag and all the, you know what I'm saying? It's like this bag that pulls the wind.
It's like a domino effect. You gotta hit something.
It's cool. It's like, yeah, but it's, you know, in the heat of the moment, when you don't have to worry about shit, you just open the window.
I mean, let's be real. It's harder to shoot a deer out of a blind. It just is. You don't have the room like you do in a tree stand. So like
angles, misconception though. Yeah. That's a misconception.
Yeah. Angles matter.
It's an art form.
So the easier we can make that process, the smoother it's going to go for you. And I mean that's
Mark Drury, when we did that podcast at his house about, we talked about shooting out of box blinds. He's the one that made me realize like this is harder than killing one out of a hang on. Shooting out of a hang on. It might be easier to do a hang and bang and kill one than it is setting a box blind up and predicting it's going to be that. You know, you have to almost just like, that's my spot. You know,
once it's there, it's there.
But getting your shot off is way more difficult out of a box blind than it would be a hang-on.
Yeah.
More than likely.
It's crazy. I had one last year. It wasn't a buck. It was a mature doe with a fawn that came in, and I had my boys with me. It was one of those situations where we had our front coming through, and the rain was going to stop at a little after 5:30. And so I said, all right, boys, I picked them up from school and daycare. We went home and got all the snacks ready and the drifter 20 and got all of our stuff and went to the blind. And I said, all right, boys, it's going to be wet. Like, we're going to get wet walking to the blind, but we're going to get in there. We'll be dry. And then the rain's going to stop and we're going to see deer right after that rain stops. You watch.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we got in there and they were jacking around, just getting settled. And sure enough, it was 15, 20 minutes. The rain stopped, 5:45. And here comes some does. And we had them come into the food plot, and, she was coming out right in my lane. It was going to be about a 21-yard shot. Got my bow ready, got them situated so they could see. That's another thing with kids. Like, you're always
they gotta see.
You got to worry about opening the window, making sure your bow is going to be ready and you're going to have a shot, and when to, if you're going to stop the deer, if you got to stop her, whatever, you got to do all this. Then you got to make sure that they're good, right?
Right, yeah.
They're not going to come walking over.
How old are your boys?
5 and 8.
Okay, so they're in that sweet spot probably,
yep,
right?
Yep. So I'm sitting there, and she turns, and right when I open up the window, she turns right away from the blind and looks back at me over her shoulder. And I'm already at full draw. So I'm sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. I'm right out one of the corner windows, so perfect bow window. But she doesn't have any angle for me to shoot her. And I've got these two sitting there just staring at me like,
what are you doing,
what's
Dad?
What's going on? Like,
shoot this thing. What are you doing?
I'm just sitting there holding, trying to hold this bow back. And it felt like an eternity. But I just kept looking at them like, well, they're expecting me to get this done. Like, you're going to have to pull this together because they want to see this deer get shot.
Yeah. So, come on, Dad. What are you doing?
She finally turns and I was able to get a shot. But, like, they were standing straight up looking out that one of the horizontal windows, and they could see everything perfect, and it was worked great in that situation. But it just shows, like, if I was in a tree stand, that would have been the easiest thing in the world to accomplish. I wouldn't have to draw that early. I wouldn't have to do all this other stuff. But in a blind, you have to worry about a crowd.
Right. Yeah, think about what they're doing,
critiquing my every move.
Dad, you kind of punched a trigger on that shot, but you got double lung still, so that's good. Yeah,
I just picture kids like in the blind, like me in South Africa, like. When they see an animal I don't, I was like, I gotta see it.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's like, just quit moving. I'm like, I gotta see it.
Or if you make a bad shot right when they walk in the door, Mom, Dad made a bad shot. Loser.
We gotta give it some time.
Dad's a loser.
But how fun, man. I think back, like, you know, my dad just threw me into whatever stand I could get in. That's how you learned, because there wasn't those options. But, like, how much better could it have been for me to, like, cut my teeth starting hunting way younger
and blind
and watch my dad kill some deer? Like, how much better would that be for my shot process, you know, when it come to staying calm and seeing this happen before and all that?
Being quiet.
Because really, it was like bow hunting. I didn't watch somebody do it before me.
Mm-mm.
I was thrown into it. I'm like, oh, fuck, I didn't think I'd get this nervous.
Right.
You know, it's like there's some pressure there.
Right.
It might make kids more comfortable that have that opportunity, I think, watching their dad or whatever.
It's like when you first bow hunt, you move, you're like, fuck, they already saw me.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
They're trying to be all nice and slow, and you're like, oh, fuck, they see me. My dad, like, sitting there waving at them.
I will say my dad set up he got a big-ass it was a ladder stand from Cabela's, and he got the shroud. I don't know if that's even what it's called, but it was like the bar went down. And it had this like cover around
it. The mesh around it.
The sleeper bar. But it was like the Cabela's camo. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. The sleeper bar, but it hung down. It velcroed around it and hung down to the platform.
I just called that. So you sleep on it.
You crawled underneath. It was like a tarp that went around it. Yep. So from the rail up. So when I was sitting down, you could just see my head sticking out. That probably saved me. I killed my first deer out of one of them.
Shit.
Yeah.
Shit, fuck.
Just the worst box blind ever is what it was, you know? Yeah,
pretty much.
Cheap box blind.
What's that?
The cheap box blind.
Yeah, pretty much. The old Cabela's camo shroud. I remember it. Like, I got sleeping. You know what I'm talking about? That old Cabela's camo?
Yeah.
Had the big, you know, the helicopter plants, whatever they are? They were like that big. They're like on the Cabela's camo. You know what I'm talking about?
It kind of had that 3D cut to it, too. Like, it was supposed to...
Yeah, what the hell was that camo called? Was it called Inclusion?
I like the helicopter. Good.
You don't talk about?
No.
Here, I'll show you.
It's a sycamore seed.
Sycamore seed, okay.
I think Kurt's making shit up again.
I'm not. You'll see.
You'll see.
Shut up.
You can't even spell camo. Campo.
Shut your mouth.
Cabela's camo, okay.
Vintage.
We're too recent.
Yeah, you're going to need to go way back.
Back in the...
No, nah, it's still around. I think it is. Fuck. It's...
Fuck, it's not.
Oops.
Oops. Cabela's camo pattern, old. You guys will know. When you see it, you'll be like, ah. Okay, not that old. Oh, come on.
You're full of shit.
I don't know.
John Denver's full of shit.
Shut up. Well, fuck me, Ronnie. It exists,
You're fucking dreaming.
There'll be some listeners that'll have my back.
You were high.
You were high when you said that.
Nope, I'll tell you. I'll post a picture of it after this podcast goes up. I have sleeping bags, old school sleeping bags.
Some listener will remember the name of it.
Oh, here it is right here.
You done lost it. It's a leaf.
That's it right there.
It even said Midwest.
It looks like real tree.
Oh, that's like the... That's an old school real tree.
Is that real free?
Real free.
But see these, the helicopter things.
That's a sycamore. Sycamore seed.
If you scroll down, it says Midwest camo.
Midwest camo patterns. But that's the pattern.
You called it though, Kurt. It does have sycamore seeds in it.
See, so I'm not a helicopter. I'm not a complete idiot. But that's what I don't.
Helicopter.
You're just an idiot.
Let's see if this has
the. Partial idiot. Yeah.
All I'm saying is Grizzly needs to contract out. Oh, see, this is a list of camo patterns in the Midwest.
For 96.
What year is this website? What year is this
2010.
Blog? Okay. So it's pretty recent.
2010?
That's what it says.
Seclusion. I was close. I said inclusion. There it is.
I might be an idiot. I'm thinking sycamore. I think it might be silver maple. I had both of those trees in my yard. I think it's a silver maple that
I think
has the helicopter.
Yep.
Yep.
But you know I'm not full of shit because I remember that specific detail about that pattern.
It's about birds.
I have an old school heavy sleeping bag. Sam's been trying to throw it away since we met. But I got it when I was a kid, and it's still in the house. So, fuck
you.
It ain't going nowhere. There's holes in it.
What if I need it?
You guys not familiar with that pattern? Do you know that pattern?
I've never seen
it. I remember it now. I've never used it. Yeah. Yep.
That's what that shroud was around my blind. Like I remember it like it was yesterday.
I wouldn't use that.
What pattern do you guys grow up with?
Isaac, real tree, bro.
Real tree.
Yeah. What would you grow up with?
Mossy oak.
Which pattern? Which was like the pattern when you
break up?
The breakup?
Yeah.
You know the pattern that sticks out to me that I remember the most? Was the Advantage camo.
Yeah, Advantage.
I got into the scene like 97, 98, and it was just brand new, and like everything was Advantage camo.
Yeah.
You really had the Advantage, huh?
Oh, yeah. Shit, I grew up duck hunting, so when we went deer hunting, you're just wearing wetland shit, you know?
Dude, the Advantage camo was the shit. Look at these. Yeah.
Classic. I can see that guy. Bam.
Oh, my God.
This is my favorite old school pictures. Like,
where's he at?
You can't even see that guy. I love those old camo ads like this.
See the black dildo.
Right here. That's the Advantage pattern you're talking about, Austin.
Can't see me.
Yeah.
Right? Says Advantage. Why is this a UK website? What the fuck are we doing?
Let's go back.
See, it says Advantage right there on his sleeve.
Because they're just getting that camo pattern now. They're behind on the times. All right, right there is Advantage.
Drinking tea out of their grizzly.
Here?
Yeah.
Go. Yep. That's Advantage.
Yep.
Yeah, that pattern's badass.
That was my first soft bow case was that pattern.
Yeah, yep. I know exactly which one you're talking about, too, because I had one.
The Cabela's Special.
Uh-huh.
I think I still got it, too. I think my bow fishing bow was in that one.
It's pretty cool, man. That is still a good-looking pattern, honestly. Like, yeah, that was a Bill Jordan special.
We should make our own pattern.
God, it'd be tough. But Huntworth is killing it with their patterns, man. Huntworth is doing a really great job. Flora. Oh, yeah. Look at that.
You. Looks like something there on your grandma's couch.
It does.
That's what I was
with the plastic covers on it.
I think my grandma had that couch.
How do we get involved in this? What are we in right
now?
Man,
this is trippy. I don't know. You're going all kinds of shit right now.
Holy moly.
These are all wallpapers from the 70s.
They are, but they're all decent camo patterns, really.
Should we just pick one and call it our camo?
Well, we have fucking Martha and her fucking pattern specialist after our ass.
We'll call it the Karen pattern.
These are kind of cool, aren't they? I mean, if you're
like fucking wallpaper.
Yeah, but dude, now you see me, now you don't. I'm wearing this shit.
It's couch material too.
It's like corduroy.
Yeah, Paul, Stan, we got you.
That's a good looking pattern. What'd you grow up with, Casey? Were you?
I think my first pair of coveralls probably looked just like that.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you grow up with, Eric? Realtree.
Realtree.
Which pattern was like?
We're a Realtree family.
I mean, whatever my dad bought.
Really?
A little bit of everything.
I had a Realtree Hardwoods HD. Dude,
Hardwoods was...
Comforter and sheets and pillows, and I still have them, and Sam wants to throw them away. And I said, bitch, you ain't throwing them away.
No.
I said, bitch.
I said, bitch.
You said that?
I said it, dude.
I still have an OG, like, Realtree button-up shirt that was my dad's. I got to wear it in here sometime.
That's cool.
I'm going to steal it.
Yeah, look at that. There's some Realtree advantage at work right there.
Look at that.
You got to give...
Look at the bow.
Look at the camera guy in the background. You need to see that guy.
Oh, shit. He's got a bow, too.
Holy shit.
That's the Golden Eagle right there, boy.
Yep.
These are cool sure to look up, man.
The guy has one more arrow.
Look at the sight on that them. Thing.
What was the bow that was big back in the day? Wasn't it like the Jennings Buckmaster? Wasn't that like the big bow back in the day?
Parker was real big back in the day. Martin was real big in those times. PSE was a popular one. I think
Hoyt was my first one, my real deal one.
What was your first bow ever? What model?
Hoyt.
Dude, I think you and I had the same
one. Yeah, I
think
we did.
Ultra Sport.
Yeah, Ultra Sport.
That was my first bow. My first real, I had a couple other bows before. That was my first, like, my dad bought.
Yeah. That was my first killing bow.
My Bear Alaskan was Advantage Camo, but I only shot it for like 6 months, and I realized how bad it sucked, and then I went and got a High Country.
Ultra Sport.
Wait, Ultra
$170
Sport.
Bucks.
Shit, fuck.
I'm gonna sell mine.
Look at that
you
shit.
Still got it?
Yeah, still got it.
You still have it?
Yeah.
I wish I still had mine.
Can you bring it in?
I think Doug has every bow he owned still.
I only have one, but I only sold one.
An Elite?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
The Ritual.
Here, I'll show you guys. I got proof.
Oh, we're diving into Kurt's files.
I didn't know
there he is fighting.
Those are all private. You can't.
Right there, the new rig.
Can't dive into those.
No. I'm looking for the hunting ones, albums.
To where you're at.
Right here, baby.
Yeah, boy.
Hoyt Ultra Sport. There she is.
Yeah.
Got that True Glow sight. It's my first deer ever.
You were the fucking bees and knees back then.
You'll find mine.
Is that a Whisker Biscuit I see?
Fuck yeah, it is.
Goddamn right.
Hey, my first bow had a Whisker Biscuit on it, too.
That's a good starter, Russ.
For sure.
For sure. But yeah, that was the old Hoyt. Look at it. I killed my first buck with it.
You can't see it, but it's in there.
First buck with a bow.
See it?
Kurt's not looking at all.
Kurt's just not looking at me.
Oh, you can see it. That's a good photo, too.
Yeah, I was straight facing it.
Without I had braces. Mustache.
I had braces, so.
Yeah. Can't show them.
No. It's gay.
Cool. What was your first one, Isaac? First bow.
First bow? It was a Hoyt as well. It was an Intruder.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know that one.
Yeah. Big, long sucker. 40 inches axle to axle. It was a
Hoyt Intruder.
2x4.
It's a 2x4.
Yeah. It. Yeah, see if you can find it.
Hoyt Intruder. Oh, like this? Hoyt USA Raider Intruder?
Yep, that's it.
Oh, damn. Here's one right here.
Yep.
Hell yeah, that's badass.
That. Got them hatchet cams, boy.
Yeah, for sure.
Hatchet cams.
What was yours, Austin? Your first bow?
Mine was a High Country Ultra Force, and it did have the hatchet cams for sure. Now, when I draw it back, I'm just amazed that I could kill anything with it because you can draw it back, and then you can draw it back another inch. Like, there's
you
so
still
much
have play. It also?
Oh, yeah. There's so much play in that cam. That's one ball I'll never get rid of.
The value.
I killed my first I killed my first three big bucks and, like, two elk with that bow.
God damn.
That?
Yeah, it's all black, but that might be it. It's got them hatchet cams.
Hatchet.
My riser was cut out. I had cutouts in my riser.
Oh, you did?
High Country Ultra Force. Nope.
High Country Ultra Force bow.
Right there. Yep. Bingo.
Oh, that's sweet looking.
That's the exact camo and everything.
Is that your bow?
That's it. Right there.
That's it on the floor.
Yeah, I regret selling mine, you know, looking back. Like, I wish I still had it. Then I had a Hoyt X-Tech was shooting the top of the line shit for me. You know, I was like, man.
I went to Bowtech.
You did?
I did.
Ooh.
You did?
I shot Hoyt right up until I realized that Elite was a better bow, pretty much. Not a better bow, but a more comfortable bow for me.
Yeah.
Wrong terminology.
Never looked back.
Yeah. Fun. Casey, what was your first one?
It was a Hoyt, but I don't remember which one.
Why is Hoyt's a Utah company?
It was a youth bow. It's kind of a cool
Get closer. Story. Pull that mic up. There you go.
Kind of a cool story because my grandpa owned probably, I think altogether, around 800 acres.
Jesus. Damn.
Yeah.
Spoiled.
It's a good grandpa.
Kind of must be nice.
Must be nice.
Yeah, well, it's gone. He had a guy, and I'm not sure where he came from, but he owned like an archery store or whatever, and he came up, you know, probably gave my grandpa some money to hunt for X amount of days, whatever. And he ended up giving my grandpa, I think he talked to my grandpa like, hey, do you have somebody who wants to get into archery, you know, whatever. And he gave my grandpa a youth Hoyt bow that he got from his shop or whatever. And my grandpa ended up giving it to me for Christmas. So that was my very first bow.
That's pretty cool.
It was a Hoyt. I don't remember which one it was, but I think my parents maybe still have it.
See, Hoyt like hit it good in the 90s, 2000s. Like their Midwest marketing was on point, but they're a Salt Lake company, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is weird is like, I don't feel like everyone shoots Hoyt like they did.
No.
They still have a market on everything, though. I mean, overseas.
But I feel like they lacked up their marketing on the Midwestern hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they have Bone Collector for the Midwest and Southern guys. But, like, they have, like, Cameron Haynes. And I feel like they've kind of went the fitness more mountain guy.
More Western Utah. Guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's
bad move.
Well, the most
for us.
We're fat. We're talking box blind.
I tried body wood. It has to put my weight in. I was like, what?
Yeah. What's your weight? You don't qualify. Your BMI. You don't take your a BMI test too much. To buy a Hoyt.
It just said the red asterisk. You put something the password in wrong. Fat ass.
What?
Lose weight. Huh? Just fat shames you. It's like, well, it looks like I'm buying an Elite.
You got to lose 30 pounds to buy this bow.
Elite won't fat shame you. Buy Elite.
It's true.
They never fat shamed us.
Never.
Hey, they killed some shit, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Isn't it nice to get some stuff under the belt like before? Isaac, you're coming to Africa. And Casey, you're coming to Africa one of these days.
Oh, I hope so.
We're awesome. Every bow hunter's got to go.
Yep.
You have to go.
Those pictures you guys posted on social media, I was just every day. I was like, oh
dude,
my
every
God,
day
that looks like shoot a trip ball trip.
Something died every day.
Yeah,
every day.
It's. I don't think you can go anywhere else and shoot that much shit in that amount of time. It's just a shoot 'em up rally.
So many animals.
It was crazy because like we don't have service, so you get back and I was like, I shot on Paul, and Kurt's like, I shot on Paul, and Eric's like, I shot one too. Like everyone just.
I know. I shot mine the first morning, yeah. Like 7:30. I'm like. Like the whole time we got back in the bottom, I'm like, I wonder if I'm the only one that shot anything today.
Yeah, I did too. I was like,
because you don't know, because you can't text each other, you know?
Yeah. No, but I was getting, Stuart had services. Oh, somebody shot at a pop. I didn't know who.
Yeah, at the time they didn't know names yet, really.
Yeah. You got to go.
And now you guys knocked all the dust off and you're ready for the fall here. Like, that's.
Yep.
It's a big.
Shooting dimes.
I mean,
it's a big deal, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
I feel more confident than ever.
Yeah, you don't got to break the ice.
No.
Do you do that?
Already broke the ice.
I do.
Do you shoot a doe first to try to break the ice a little bit?
100%.
Yeah, do you?
Sure.
Yeah.
You do the same?
I try to, except there's been a couple of situations where I haven't just because I'd been chasing a good one and I didn't want to booger up the spot. Yeah, trying to get him early. Like I knew my only shot was going to be early and then I won't. But typically, yeah, I'm that guy. I try to shoot one early.
That would be a little tough. Big buck is your first, like, animal you see and to shoot at.
Yeah
you want to just like I don't know I'm kind of superstitious. It's like, yeah, knock the dust off.
Yeah
like realize, all right,
I'm still going to shoot a doe.
This new bow. Like, then that's like, that's going to sound spoiled. How do I word that? Sometimes I wish I could keep a bow for longer.
Right.
Oops.
Where's the button?
Oops.
But I love having new bows because we're kind of bow nerds.
That's true.
But, you know, it's like the superstitious part of me. Like, if I wasn't superstitious, I wouldn't have that feeling. But I'm like, oh, I got to get comfy with this one. It's gotta murder something. You know?
That's what it's got to do.
Don't say that.
No, that's fine.
I don't know. Are you that way? Like with a new bow?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You're going to know it can do it?
Yep. Yep. You get comfortable with something you don't want to switch.
Yeah. It's awesome. How do you feel about that?
Well, before we were sponsored by Elite, I was like the kind of guy that'd keep my bow 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Like, I was superstitious. I get something set up. I'm comfortable with it. I'm familiar with it. I'm not going to change
it
around.
You know it works.
Right. But now that we're sponsored by Elite and we're getting a new bow every year, it's like, well, send that one down the road and try the new model out.
It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's a blast. And honestly, they all shoot so good. It's like you pick it up and you're shooting good with it the first day or two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can pick up any of mine.
Well, a lot of it is it's like we've been shooting.
Yeah.
Right. I think if you didn't shoot. But that's also, too, like part of the, I think, a disadvantage of having a bow for so long. I'm comfortable. I don't need to shoot so much. I know what's on.
True.
That might fuck you more in the long run than would be making you want to practice, because you got to trip, you got to shoot this new bow.
Yep.
You know, we probably shoot our bows a lot more than the dude who keeps a bow for 6-7 years, because it's like you have to get familiar with your new rig.
Yep.
Casey, how do you feel about it? Would you like a new bow every year? Or are you kind of like?
I think the more like
get on your mic a little bit there.
Like when I got my last bow, I guess. I shot a lot more. Now that I'm comfortable with it, I don't think I shoot quite as much.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that makes sense.
Because which Elite? You have an Elite.
Yeah. Ritual 30.
It's a good bow.
I believe.
It's a good bow.
Yeah. That's right. And I love it. And it seems like every time I pick it up, even if I haven't used it in a while, it's like riding a bicycle.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
That's what you want in a bow.
But, of course, when I get, you know, out in the stand, I usually fuck up.
Well,
my nerves get the best of me
sometimes.
Yeah,
that's
different. Yeah. But that happens. That's a growth thing, you know?
But it was like, you know, I went to the shoot this summer, and I hadn't hardly picked up my bow. And I shot a couple times before the shoot, and I went to the shoot, and I was like, man, I'm shooting actually pretty good. So,
yeah,
I mean,
good thing the shoot's kind of early, you know?
Yeah,
so
it's
good. It's
like, I mean, like I said, it's kind of like riding a bicycle. Once mm-hmm. you get it dialed in, it's...
That's why I do the shoot. We're testing you.
The shoot?
It's early enough to get you motivated.
The shoot is the shit.
Thank you.
I'm telling you.
Oh, thank you.
The shoot is the shit to shoot all year.
Hell yeah.
Well, Isaac, what did we miss about Grizzly, man? We didn't really talk drinkware and like soft-sided stuff, but...
I think we covered most of the stuff on the blinds, but yeah, like I say, we do have the drinkware lineup. We're going to be adding some SKUs of that this year, so just keep a heads up on our social media, the website. We've got a dealer locator on there as well, so
very cool.
You can find where you can get them.
I think we're going to be, we'll have some options for working class bow hunter stuff
coming down the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're working on
some good ideas.
Yeah, something real unique. We'll make it look cool.
Do you have built-in cup holders in your blinds?
That
might be an option.
Yeah, huh. I don't want to give that away.
Shut up, Casey.
Casey,
hey, hang on.
I'm
stay tuned.
There is a shelf in there.
Stay tuned.
I don't know what the hell's going on.
Stay tuned.
I'm just here.
Another quick little pro tip with the blinds. What I did this year, I was going to build a platform like Kurt did, but we kind of wanted to go where I wanted to put it. I couldn't get in there because the corn's already up. So my buddy had an old gravity feed wagon.
Oh boy.
So we built a floor in it and cut one side out, and we set on top of that, so it's like a mobile.
It's badass.
It's a mobile hunting blind now. It's on wheels.
I need to do that.
Yeah.
I need to find one of them.
After seeing that picture, I am all in on that game. That looks awesome.
Yeah.
I think he picked up, he already had the gravity wagon, because he put just a regular ground blind on it last year, and he's like, hey, I took my kids out. It was freezing. Like, I didn't have a spot for it this year because the corner's already up. I'm like, hey, What are you going to do with that gravity feed wagon? Because I got a blind for it.
They should burn that blind. I got a new one.
I got a new one.
I'm in the market for a gravity wagon. If anybody's got one, contact me.
I got
my phone number is 309. I'm just going to use that. Just email us. All right. I'll buy it. As long as it's free.
Everybody be on Facebook Marketplace now looking at gravity wagons.
Yeah.
This thing's a big, it's a piece of shit. I think you picked the whole thing up for like $200.
Hey, if it sits and rolls 100 yards.
As long as it moves, you're good.
I already have like three I'm going to use.
Well, give me one.
You're going to steal them from Marv?
Not my uncle.
Oh.
Yeah, does he have one he'd sell?
Maybe.
Well, fucking hook
take
it
you
up.
4 hours to get it home.
I don't care.
Just driving down the highways.
Down the highway at 30 mile an hour.
on 80.
Yeah.
Getting ass packed by a fucking big wheeler. All right. Isaac, where can people find Grizzly? Where can people find you? Where can people find anybody that wants to do anything with Grizzly and us or anybody else?
Grizzly, just grizzlycoolers.com. You'll see them Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you're on there. Just search
TikTok?
Grizzly Coolers. Yeah.
You guys have TikTok?
They are starting one. So
fuck yeah.
If it's not up now, it will be coming.
It'll be up by the time this
episode
comes
out. We'll make some videos.
Yeah, we'll see.
Put the pressure on them. Like, hey, you got till mid-September.
It was talked about. I'm putting that out there.
We'll talk
about.
Why not?
We can make some videos for you.
Be cool. Myself, Isaac Etzinger on Facebook. I don't use Facebook a whole lot. IG Outdoors Media on Instagram. I use that a lot more. So anything hunting related coming up fall will probably be more on there.
Cool.
Awesome.
And then if people want to, you know, if you don't get a blind before this fall, pushing her, come to any of the trade shows, really, consumer shows, you guys are going to have a blind there. Everyone that we do, you guys are pretty much there.
Yeah, I'm going to do the Nebraska one this next winter cycle in February, I think that one is. We'll be at the Iowa Deer Classic again for sure, and we may add a couple more there at the end that go into March.
Indianapolis, so, you got to do that one.
That's a good one.
We'll get you on that one.
Okay.
Wisconsin. Indiana's one of our favorites.
Nice.
You really need to do PA because there's box blinds everywhere out there.
You guys would mop the floor with all the box blinds at PA.
PA would.
That one's like 2 weeks long.
Yeah, that show sucks.
It's nine days.
We won't be there to help you work that booth.
You should go.
It'd be a good idea if you did it, but we won't be there.
What would you rather do, PA or the travel to South Africa and back?
South Africa,
hands down.
Yeah, right? That's how bad it is.
Think about this, Kurt. We traveled almost longer driving to PA than we flew to South Africa.
Yeah, Eric and I had a long
It was 21 haul. Hours of fucking PA, and it was 24 hours to...
Because of the weather.
It took South me six Africa. Hours to get there.
I'll say this. If Grizzly crazy. Does PA, I'll work 3 days of the show.
Yeah, first class, though.
Just to be there.
I was just going
to
say, what shift does everybody want?
I want first class weekend.
If you guys do PA, I'll do 3 days of the PA show. I'll offer 3 days of free work. Only you cover meals and beer, Grizzly. And stay. I'll just sleep in the blind. Fuck it.
At the show.
Yep.
Just smelling like cow shit.
Yeah, right.
You just get waking up by people opening up the door.
It's like, what are you doing in here? I'm like,
empty beer cans everywhere.
I didn't think he's homeless with all the tattoos. Like, there's a homeless guy in here.
There's a homeless felon here in your blind.
The Amish is like, it's a devil.
Yeah. Might not want to go in there for a while.
Yeah, the Amish are like all scared of me. It's like, listen.
You got a devil in your blind up there.
My felony was bullshit, you know?
from Mike and the boys.
I got caught on some bullshit.
I got out good behavior.
Yeah.
It's called a soup kitchen.
Yeah. All right, what's round table? Get the hell out of here. Austin, what do you got?
Great podcast, man. Looking forward to stepping in one of them blinds this fall.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Casey, dare I ask?
Come on now.
Talking about tonguing down my wife the whole episode.
dangerous question.
Yeah, right.
I'm all talk, really.
Yeah, we know.
So I've only really hunted out of a blind like one time, and it was for coyotes, and I saw 14 deer. So it must be good for deer hunting, right?
Yeah.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Great Casey, question. buy one tomorrow.
All right. Yeah.
What are you doing?
All over it.
Okay. Dare I ask?
Me?
Yeah, I'm looking at you, Eric.
I'm just excited to get into this year and try it out because I've never been in a box blind before. So hopefully
Never ever.
Jeez. Hopefully the old box blind on the gravity feed wagon Does its job.
It's okay, Eric. I'm a virgin too. Yeah.
You gotta name that.
Yeah, we're gonna put SS Grizzly on the end of it.
Throw SS on it.
It's like a boat.
Regular champagne.
No blind can go without a name, you know. Yeah. It's like it's bad luck for a boat.
Yeah, I need to put a sticker on mine then to name it.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Called the Hominator.
Doug.
Blends are awesome, but the coolers are better for me. Coolers fit me better. I drink too much.
Alcoholic. Yeah. You know what to do.
Kurt, wait, what about Kurt? Do you got anything?
Professional drink.
I was going to just say, go shoot your bow. You guys ruined my closing.
What are you going to say?
Fuck me.
I'll say, you know what to do. Go shoot your bow.
Yeah, but.
About Grizzly. No one ever asked you. You always complain how no one ever asked you, so we're asking you.
Just testing your guys' co-hosting skills. Yeah, I'm pumped. I feel confident. I feel like if you set it up right, you're gonna see some big deer if you think about it a little bit. So we'll see. Maybe I'll kill something out of it. Maybe I won't. Close calls is all you can ask for, really. Shooting one and finding success out of it's the bonus. But if you see a big buck out of it in bow range, it already did its job.
Yep. Yeah. I can't wait to see the pictures and wish you all good luck.
We're going
to
try and fly that box blind flag. All right. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you guys. Thanks.